Good morning and welcome to church this morning. My name is Peter. I'm the senior minister of St. Alfred's. Christ is risen and appeared unto... Still a bit more testing to do, Mike. That first Easter changed everything, didn't it? Have you ever had life-changing news? Think back at the sorts of things that have happened to you when you thought, things are going to change. It may have been when you got your school results. It may have been when you were appointed to your first real job with your first real pay packet. Wasn't that a great day? Not such a great day when you lost your first real job. Or when someone says to you, yes, I will marry you. Or when you hear, sadly, that someone close to you has died, perhaps your mum or your dad, or that you have been told you have a serious illness. These are life-changing moments, aren't they? I can still remember when Ginny told me she was pregnant with twins. That was certainly a life-changing moment. I was a student at the time, and my instant reaction was, well, I better go and get a job. Some news can be like that, can't it? You just know from this moment on, things will be different. And the resurrection is like that. It's a statement from heaven that things have changed, that things will never be the same. Thank you. For the first time in history, someone who was physically dead has been physically raised back to life, never to die again. That had never happened in history before. It's extraordinary news, and it changed everything. But what does it change? What difference does it make? How can something that happened so long ago still affect our lives today? I want to just think about a few ways that the resurrection changes things. First of all, the most obvious thing, resurrection and death. Death is not the end. That's what the resurrection tells us. Death is not the end because Jesus is alive. That's the amazing discovery these women made on that first Easter Sunday when they went to the tomb. Every human dies. It's one of the great certainties of life. We all must die. But the resurrection tells us death is not the end. Jesus died. Do not listen to the fallacies and the heresies that say he didn't die. He died a gruesome, horrible death. He was really dead. But it was not the end. The New Testament tells us death is an enemy. Why? Because it's an enemy of life. It's an enemy of everything good that God has planned for human beings. And all God's power was unleashed on this enemy called death to raise Jesus from the dead. The resurrection tells us death has been defeated. It's not the final chapter. It is not the end of the road. There is life beyond death. There is life despite death. God's promise is that we will be raised with Jesus one day. The Apostle Paul puts it like this. He says, by his power, God has raised Jesus from the dead, and he will also raise us. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 14. So if we turn to Christ in repentance and faith, we will be united to him, and we will be raised from death to life eternal. That is what has changed dramatically because of the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus is the guarantee that at the end of the tunnel, there is life. Not just darkness or nothingness, there is life. Life wins out. Life with God, life with the risen Lord. That's great news. That's why we're here this morning celebrating that he is risen, because death has been defeated. Secondly, at a more sort of immediate level, let us think about resurrection and how it affects risk. Many of you live in a world or work environments where you do risk analysis, don't you? Let's think about the resurrection and risk. You see, if death is not the end of the story, then we are freed from one of the greatest fears known to humankind, the fear of death. The fear of death stops people taking risks. We naturally want to avoid death. That's a very human thing, isn't it? But Christians don't have to live like that. We can risk everything if God calls us to serve Him in some way that involves risk. Why? Because we know that our ultimate destiny is life. It is guaranteed. Whatever risks we take in this world, at the end of the story, there is no risk. We're guaranteed life. So we can put our lives at risk if we feel called by God to do that. And there are people here today who have done that. So if you feel that God is calling you to do something that involves risk, for example, serving as a medic in Rwanda, or flying aeroplanes in Papua New Guinea, or being a border observer in Palestine, or serving as a teacher in the Indian mountains, you're liberated to take those risks because of the resurrection. We're free to take Bibles into North Korea or preach the gospel in China. Now, those are big risks that might not affect some of you sitting here this morning. But think of smaller risks. You're free to invite someone to church. You're free to offer somebody a Christian book or a Bible. You've been freed to pray for someone at work or someone you're related to. Like the early Christians, we are freed from risk to enter into the difficult areas where the poor and the marginalized live and try and offer help. We can join things like Sleep at the MCG, which is happening next month, to raise funds for the homeless. We can take in foster children or visit prisoners or help those dying with cancer. We can risk fighting for justice in our country or countries further afield. We don't have to sit mute and pretend that it will all work out all right if we do nothing. We are free to take the risk of lifting up our voices and using our influence for good. Also, sometimes people feel caught in their careers and in their lives as if they have no choice. They must just keep on going and doing what they're doing. Well, the resurrection tells us we can risk a career change to serve the risen Lord Jesus. We don't have to feel caught on the treadmill. Or if you're younger and have the liberty and the means to do it, you're free to have a gap year and take risks with where you might go in your life. Look out beyond where you've been brought up and what you know up till now. We look at risk in a different way when we're Christian, even the risk of death, because we know that our eternal destiny is sealed and guaranteed. Resurrection gives us courage to take risks. Living out the resurrection, therefore, can be incredibly exciting and very rewarding. A third idea is resurrection and generosity. The resurrection frees us to live generous lives. God has given us everything in Jesus. One of the pictures of heaven is that it's like a big mansion. It's like a father who has this massive house, and Jesus tells his followers he's going back to the Father's house, and there's room for everybody there. That's how lavish God's generosity is to us. There's room in his presence for everybody who would wish to follow Jesus back to be with the Father. So God has lavished on us generously his love and his generosity and his care and his grace, his forgiveness, everything he's given to us in the Lord Jesus. And that allows us to be generous in return. Sadly, some people live their lives owning possessions, and some others sadly live their lives being owned by their possessions. Christians don't have to do either. We can be generous with our possessions. We know we can't take it with us, so we're free to use what we have for God's purposes while he gives us life here on earth. And every gift and sacrifice we make is like a sign of gratitude to God. Each time we give someone our time or a donation of money, we're saying yet again, we are thankful to God for what he's given us. We're showing how grateful we are because of God's generosity. And more than this, the resurrection tells us that sin and death have been defeated. So every time we show kindness and generosity, two small human things in some ways, kindness and generosity, every time we do that, we're showing that sin and death have been defeated. We are partnering with God to show people what God is like, who God is, through our kindness and our generosity. We are affirming the God-given life that we've been given in the resurrection. So I've mentioned three things that affect our present lives, three things that have changed because of the resurrection. One is how we think about death. One is how we can take risks. And the third is why we can be generous. And there are many other things that I could mention, but I want to finish talking about the past and the future. The resurrection tells us quite clearly something new has happened. It's a new start. It's a new beginning. The resurrection of Jesus changes the future possibilities for humankind. It's a new dawn in the history of humanity. Even our calendars represent that. We have time BC and then time AD. It's extraordinary news. And it's so extraordinary that some of the early disciples in that reading we had this morning, they thought it was utter nonsense, because this doesn't happen. It doesn't happen in Blackburn, does it? It doesn't happen in York. It doesn't happen in Israel. It doesn't happen in this sort of thing does not happen. It's an absolute nonsense. But this change, this reversal of the laws of nature when people who are dead stay dead, this has a very personal application to each person here. It shows us what God's heart is for us. The resurrection is God's statement to us that we too can have a new life, that there is hope for every human being. Now, what do I mean by that? If you are brutally honest with yourself, and it doesn't take more than a blink of an idea of an eye to do this, you know you're not perfect. You're very delightful people, and I'm very glad you're all here this morning. Some of you look lovely. You've taken time to dress this morning. But you're not... dress up, I should say. But you're not perfect, are you? You know that. I'm not perfect. You've seen that, obviously. But if God can bring life out of death, then there is hope for all of us. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life, a new life. That's what the resurrection offers those who put their faith in Christ. So today, folks, if you have never ever accepted what God has done in Christ, today is a chance to do that, to say, I want to begin again. I'm not proud of everything I've done. I know that I'm not perfect. And who is? But you're only responsible for yourself. I want you to seriously consider whether today might be the time to turn back to God. It's what the Bible calls repentance. And all you need to do is say to God, I'm sorry for the past. Please forgive me. And you turn away from those past habits, what the Bible calls sin, and then you learn from today to live a life like Jesus, a life that pleases God. And that's what the resurrection offers. It offers a new beginning. It says you do not have to stay caught in the type of attitudes and life that you walked in here with. There is a chance to change with the help of God because of Christ. No matter where you have been, and no matter what your state is this morning, the resurrection says to you, this new life is possible for you. It is there for everybody. Again, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 10, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, he's the boss, he's in charge, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's guaranteed. If you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. Now, if you're here today and this is new news to you and you'd like to do something about it, please feel free to speak to me. I'm not that scary, despite what my wife and kids say. Or please speak to Mike or come and speak to Sam. He actually does know lots about the Bible. Or speak to Karen. She knows even more about the Bible. Or speak to anyone who's got a name badge on. If you would like, there are some books out in the bookstall. Now, there's one there called Lifted, which is subtitled Experiencing the Resurrection Life. Because the resurrection isn't just a belief. It's not just a doctrine. It's something that I've tried to explain changes life. It actually has an effect. So that's called Experiencing the Resurrection. Or the other one, if you're not quite sure whether you believe in Jesus or whether he did actually die and was raised from the dead, a little book called The Case for Easter, subtitled A Journalist Investigates the Evidence for the Resurrection. Each of those has a little cost to it, but there's also a very small pamphlet that has no cost called The Real Easter. There are only a handful of each of those, so if you'd like one, please don't muck around. Get out there soon after the service finishes. Also, Mike, during the announcements, announced a course that we run periodically here called Christianity Explored. That helps to explain what Christianity is all about. If you'd like to join in on a course like that, please again speak to Mike or myself. Let me conclude. When God originally made the world and made people, made us, it was all good. Everything was perfect. But it didn't stay good for very long. It was like the Christmas present you give a child that's broken by New Year. The world was messed up pretty quickly. And so right from the start, God began working on his plan to restore life to the world, to bring the world back to its original perfection and bring people back into their original goodness. And Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of that renewal. It says to us that God is in the business of bringing life out of death. In the last book of the Bible, Jesus is described as the firstborn from the dead. And elsewhere, he's described as the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. That means there will be many more people raised from the dead. He's the firstborn. It implies there will be others raised from the dead who he's happy to call brothers and sisters. There's more to come. And that includes every single person here this morning who puts their faith in Christ. The resurrection is our hope and our destination. It deals with the past, it guarantees the future, and it sends us out to live for Christ in the present. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.